So let us then turn in God's Word to Matthew chapter 1 as we continue looking at the coming of our Savior. We look at the coming and birth of our Lord. So let us read together the Word of Almighty God, Matthew chapter 1, beginning reading at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Thus far the reading of God's Word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's Word this morning, we look at Matthew's recounting of the history of Christ. We have four Gospels. We have four eyewitness testimonies. And as we read in Matthew, and as we read in the different Gospels, they have different perspectives on it. Those who look at these things say they very much bear the witness of an eyewitness testimony, because eyewitnesses don't always agree in exactly how everything is, because eyewitnesses have different emphases. As we look at Matthew's retelling of the birth of Christ, Matthew looks at it very much through Joseph's eyes, as we looked last Lord's Day at the genealogy of Joseph. Now Luke, the Gospel of Luke, retells very much through Mary's eyes. And as we look at this passage, we do look at the situation very heavily as Joseph becomes aware of what was going on. And if we think about it a little bit from Joseph's perspective, we don't spend a lot of time trying to get behind these sorts of things, but think about it from a man betrothed to a young woman, comes up pregnant. What do we think? And so as we look at God's Word, the theme that we want to see is the promised Savior arrives to save His people from their sins. That's the theme that we want to look at this morning. In verses 18 through 19, we look at Mary found with God's child. In verses 20 and 21, we see that the child is the Savior. God explains that out. In verses 22 through 25, we see that Christ fulfills God's promises of salvation. The promised Savior arrives to save His people from their sins. Mary is betrothed to Joseph and is with child by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, this would make the gossip lines buzz even today. A woman engaged to one man is with child of someone else. God didn't use some unmarried woman who would then be proposed to be a harlot. Mary was betrothed. She was to be married very soon. In fact, if we read the Magnificat recorded by Luke, Luke 1:46 through 55, she rejoices. The fact that she was pregnant, was going to cause a lot of difficulties and problems for her. But she knew it was by the work of the Holy Spirit, by the work of God. The work of God within His people may cause us difficulties and problems in this world. Living as Christians may cause us difficulties. But we do not need to fear those difficulties. We need to rejoice in what God is doing in us. And so before the marriage happened, before the final feast, before they came together, we're told that Mary was with child by the operation of the Holy Spirit. We read in Luke 1:35, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" And when the truth is finally brought to Joseph, there's no question whose the child is. Isaiah 49, verse 5, "And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him so that Israel is gathered to Him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." Christ was formed in the womb to be the servant. But of course, if we consider this from Joseph's perspective, he's an upright man. He has a good name. "This isn't the girl I thought I was marrying," perhaps he might say. Perhaps Mary told him. But who believes that, right? This very much would have put Mary's life in danger. We have to think about that. We have to realize that. Notice Joseph's desire not to make a public example of her, rather to put her away secretly. A public example would be to follow the Old Testament requirements, which was to have her stoned. He's a just man. He doesn't want this to besmirch either his reputation or his desires to glorify God. Yet he did not want to make her a public example. He loved her. He desired to break the engagement. And yet, God explains, doesn't He? The child is the Savior. Joseph in a dream. Notice it says, while he was considering these things, he thought about these things, verse 20. We live in a culture that is so full of knee-jerk reactions, and we as Christians are not to be those people. We are to think about things, think things through. And while he thought about it, he had a lot to think about. Things didn't add up. How could this possibly have happened? And while he thought about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. God corrects Joseph's understandable but inaccurate analysis. It says, "Do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife." Now notice Joseph, out of honor for what was going on, did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. They were not united in that manner until after. But notice, perhaps he could be afraid that because this is who it is, he would not be allowed to know her in that manner. And God says, "Do not be afraid to do that, to take to you Mary your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Of course, we know from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. That which is conceived of her is Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And this child will save His people from their sins. This is no ordinary child. Luke records it this way, 2:11. For there is born to you at this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. John speaks of it, John 1:29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the fulfillment of the prophecies all the way back to the fall of man, as we heard this morning. After the fall, God promised His Son, There shall be a seed born to the woman. He shall crush his head, but he shall bruise his heel. We know that Christ crushed the head of a death blow to Satan on the cross. And yet certainly Christ's heel was bruised. He was bruised for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. So going all the way back to the fall of man, salvation was come, that for which the Jews looked. They were looking forward all the time to the coming of the Savior. And God brought it about in a very roundabout manner. And yet God is working all of these things together. When we think we have the idea of what God is doing in the world, we don't even know the part of it. It is, if you've been reading in the Proverbs with us as we've been going through the Bible, it is the glory of God to hide a matter. When we think we have the first understanding of what's going on, we barely have that. And God is working all things. God has this perfectly orchestrated. We think our puny brains can get around it. And this child comes into this world, and Christ fulfills God's promises of salvation. God with us. The events of Jesus' birth, as well as His life, death, and resurrection, are there to point us to His fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Matthew takes pains to record this. That is one of the perspectives, as we said in the introduction, that Matthew has. Is he again and again, Matthew 2:15, 23, 4:14, 8:17, 12:17, 13:35, 21:4 and 5, 27:35, says this was done to fulfill that which was spoken by the prophets. Because Jesus came into this world to fulfill the prophets. And this child is Emmanuel. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. The womb in which Christ was conceived was pure. Shall be with child and bear a son. Jesus came into this world His conception was extraordinary, His birth was very ordinary. If we continue there, they shall call His name Emmanuel. If you go back to where this is prophesied, the Israelites were in the middle of the difficulties with Sennacherib. Sennacherib was promising that Israel would be overthrown. Judah would be overthrown. And God says, look forward to the Savior. When we are in trials and troubles in our lives here on this earth, oftentimes our desires, our thoughts go continually to a solution to this problem, that problem. God says, my solution is not always just right in front of your nose. My solution is in Jesus Christ, in salvation and eternal life. So often we want God to act in our time and on our schedule. We need to understand that God saves. God has given us more than could ever be taken away from us in this world, whether by trials, whether by persecution, whether by infirmities. Our lives here are but a blink in the eye. We are given eternity, as the verse in Amazing Grace says, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've no fewer days, no less days to sing God's praise. And so God with us, Isaiah 8:8, He will pass through Judah, He will overflow and pass over, He will reach up to the neck, and the stretching of His wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. God is, as we read, going to fill the world with His glory. The gospel will go forth to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 8:10, take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak the word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. When man comes up with their own ideas, it does not stand. When the world tries to fight against the church, God will overcome it. As has been said many times, as we think about the history of the church, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Persecution, even to the point of martyrdom, does not stop the gospel. It spreads the gospel. God with us. Jesus took death in our place. And Joseph then took Mary as his wife. Joseph is obedient to God's command. We read that he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Joseph, in fact, Jesus was said, is this not the child of the carpenter? Because Joseph cared and lived with Mary and cared for Jesus as his own son. Joseph took Mary down into Egypt with Jesus to stay away from Herod. Joseph risked his life in that manner. Joseph cared for Jesus as his son. But as we read, went ahead with the marriage. What do we read there? He did not took to him as the Lord had commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. One of the fairy tales that has grown up around this is the perpetual virginity of Mary. It's not what the Bible teaches. Did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. This preserves the witness to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, not Joseph's natural son. If we think back, and as we read in the genealogy in the previous chapter, the patriarchs had brought that into question a number of times with Abraham, with Isaac. Yet God works that out. Joseph is careful about this matter. This lineage was endangered numerous times through the misdeeds of those in that genealogy. But Joseph is happy to care. The Bible's evidence on the perpetuity of Mary's virginity is exactly the opposite. This passage, the words there, assume that Joseph and Mary came together after Jesus' birth. Other passages speak of Jesus having brothers. Matthew 12:46-47, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you. By the way, that same idea is in Mark 3:31-32 and Luke 8:19-20. It is very clear that Mary was essentially normal following this event. In fact, she misunderstood what Jesus was here on this earth about. And we read then that Jesus being born, Joseph named him and named him Jesus. Jesus is, by the way, the Old Testament name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. And so Jesus came into this world. The second person of the Trinity became man, was carried by a woman. The enormity of the event was not so much in the birth, but in the conception. He had to be conceived in a different manner than normal babies are conceived. God prevented Jesus from receiving the corruption of original sin that we spoke about in the catechism this morning, and the sinful nature with which we are all born. And yet Jesus was a child of Mary. Very much. He took of himself of our nature, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, became one of us, dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came into this world to live, to die, so that we would have life, abundant life, eternal life. And so, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this time of year, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, we need to understand that He is truly God with us. And He remains God with us. He is one of us. He remains human. The God-man. Our flesh is in heaven. As a promise, as an earnest, that we will go to heaven as well. The new heavens and the new earth. And so, brothers and sisters, we rejoice in the birth of our Savior, in the coming of our Savior into this world. And we are called to trust God. Mary, going through this, had a lot of difficulties to go through. And we, brothers and sisters, as Christians, do not need to fear difficulties because we are Christians. We need to trust that God will work these things out, whether it's on this world or eternally. Because He will work them all out. Because He loves us so much. He gave His Son for us. How awesome is that love of God. Amen. Let us then bow our heads in our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, gracious God, how awesome is Your love. The love that meant that You gave Your well-beloved, Your only begotten Son, to live in this world, to be crucified, and that You, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, came into this world, that You loved us to the point of death, that You lived under the law, that You lived under the teaching of sinful parents, Adam, or of Joseph and Mary. And we thank You that You are the second Adam, who did not fail where Adam failed in the garden, but that You represent us in holiness, in perfection, so that we can have confidence that where we fail, You have done perfectly. Help us, Lord, always more and more to gaze into the face of our Savior, to consider His perfection on our behalf. And to not then spend all of our time drugged down by our sins and failures. Rather, to rejoice that we have such an awesome, such a perfect Savior. For we do pray these things in thanksgiving to our Savior, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.